Real quick before this episode starts, I want to ask you, are you still using spreadsheets to manage your inventory, suppliers, co-packers, and production? Unless you're a wizard with cells and formulas, you can only grow so much with spreadsheets. When you're selling on your website, in retail stores, in online marketplaces, and more, it gets hard to track your inventory levels. Stockouts become a regular occurrence, and fulfilling orders keeps you awake at night. Use Fiddle instead. Our software is built to help CPG businesses like yours scale more easily with constant insight into your inventory and production at all levels. Go to fiddle.io to learn more and schedule a personalized demo.
Welcome to the Physical Product Movement, a podcast by Fiddle. We share stories of the world's most ambitious and exciting physical product brands to help you capitalize on the monumental change in how, why, and where consumers buy. I'm your host, Ken Ojuka.
Hey, this is Taylor Howe, the marketing manager at Fiddle, and I am back again hosting another episode. Super stoked to share this episode with you where I interview Dev Sevi, the head popper and CEO of Sizzle Popcorn. Our conversation ran the gamut in the best way. We talked about how an old popcorn machine sparked Dev's idea to start Sizzle, why he focuses on immediate action over long-term planning, how he launched a successful NFT component to his brand, and tons more. I really hope you dig this conversation as much as I did.
Cool. Hey, Dev, welcome to the Physical Product Movement podcast, my friend. Great to have you here. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you very much, Taylor. Appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. It's been fun. I've been following you on LinkedIn for a little while, so I see your content and posts. You have a very engaging way of creating content and kind of been following Sizzle from afar. And, you know, as I was thinking about who, like which founders, which people that are part of the CPG space I wanted to bring on, you were kind of one of the first people that came to mind. So I'm stoked to chat with you.
Well, appreciate it. Yeah. You know what? I don't always post like every day. It's more like when I feel inspired and something's going on in my life or in business and I have the urge to share.
Yeah.
And I think that people will relate to it. That's when I do it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I feel like people have different, I guess, philosophies or, you know, kind of strategies they follow when it comes to content. And so I think that you can sometimes tell when somebody's just trying to post because maybe they're not really, you know, it doesn't really feel as genuine or real. So maybe that's part of why, you know, your content is more attractive that way because you're, you know, posting when you have like, when there's like some feeling behind it, some truth behind
it. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a very emotional writer anyways. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's what it is.
Okay, cool. And actually, I don't know if there's a connection here. And because we talked about this before the podcast, we talked a little bit about like, you know, the future, like, are you into planning and goals and like, what's your five-year plan and that sort of thing? And you said that, you know, it's always a weird question for you to answer because sometimes you don't plan that far ahead or you just don't know where things are going to be. And I think, and I'm the same way, and I'm also an emotional kind of person who likes to write and create and stuff. And my sentiment comes through in my creativity. So I wonder if there's like a connection there, like between being more emotional. I don't know if that's a way to put it. And being more present and not wanting to like predict or control things too much. That's kind of a weird question, but well, what are your thoughts on that?
I'd agree with that. For sure. A lot, emotion plays a big part in what I do and how I do things. I need to feel a certain way. I mean, not to say that I just completely stop things, like, because discipline and, you know, concentration and consistency is a big, big factor in moving forward and things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you could deploy, you know, a certain level of emotion attached to like logical thought, I think that those two have a great balance. Mm-hmm. If you can control both your logical thought and your emotional side of things and sort of combine them, that could get you to that place where you're, you know, further ahead than where you are today. But at the same time, staying in the moment and realizing that if you don't hit those goals or if your plans don't pan out, you know, in that five-year plan, which you know, it not always goes according to plan, because even the largest companies in the world never stick to plan. Like 5 years comes and they're not where they thought they'd be according to their plan. So, you know, but more like on a small scale, I'd say, like personally, it's a combination of both, you know, thought and emotion. Has to, you have to have that balance.
Yeah, very, very cool. I think it's cool that you're self-aware enough to know the value of having both of those things and kind of when to deploy, to use your words, like the different personalities is probably the wrong word, but like the different approaches. Traits. Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Well, let's just kind of start from the top. I'd love to hear the origin story behind Sizzle.
Sure. Okay. I mean, so basically I didn't start off with the intention of you know, founding a CPG business or a food product business at all. The initial intention was to start an events business, so servicing local events. And the plan, so going back to our conversation about plans, was to expand, you know, across Canada, setting up these like local service based, Sizzle Your Events. It was called Sizzle Popcorn initially, and I recently changed the name to Sizzle Your Events. So okay. I wanted to have like these Sizzle Popcorn, but now Sizzle Your Event hubs and teams in each city across Canada, servicing events, marketing through Google, organically, basically, which, you know, I started doing in 2018, which was like the first year that this events business started. I started doing events in Montreal locally, learning the ropes. I was 25, so I was still a kid, not really knowing what I wanted to do. But I just took a chance, bought, you know, a few popcorn machines and started going to these events, doing free stuff, just getting experience, knowing how to do it, go about it, deal with people, have great conversations, just build myself up a little bit, build up the company. And then through that, you know, momentum started. We started gathering steam. People tried the popcorn because with with events and the rentals, we had like these shaker flavors, getting very specific here, but it's all part of the story. So it's important. Whenever people would take a bag of popcorn, so Sizzle popcorn, whatever I was serving then is actually in our bags now in our product. So but I'll get to that. So they were able to shake flavors on the popcorn. Okay. In like these little shaker bottles. And as I went to more and more events, people started asking if they could buy the popcorn, like at a store or online, like, do you sell it? Cause you know, I figured like, they thought it was like really good. And it was like, had a good flavor. It was light. It was crunchy. It was different. Not like movie theater popcorn. And I said, no, actually right now we're only doing events. But as those questions came up more often, I thought to myself, like, why don't I just try to actually do that? People are asking, there must be a market for it. You know, so it was like, I was always testing my product out and I didn't know, you know, like I was always getting feedback about what would be in the bags eventually. And so about, I'd say 8 months after I initially started, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go for it. And I found a designer, had a cool meeting, like a 3-hour meeting one day, and this is in March 2019. So going back to almost 3 years ago, coming up, you know, March 2022, it's going to come up pretty fast. It's going to be 3 years that, you know, Sizzle was born.
Cool.
Yeah. And so March 2019, I sat down with a designer. We came up with a whole like backstory on what the brand is going to look like, who's the target demographic was going to be. And then through all those elements, we came up with like the feeling for the brand, like how we're going to make sure people can relate to it. So through the character that we have as our mascot, which is Rocket, so the little devil character.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, I mean, you could check it out on our website. Or on all our socials, he's our mascot. He looks like a devil, basically. And that really relates to the target demographic that we're, you know, sort of trying to relate to, which is the gamer market, the online entertainment, content creation, like everybody in that space, or the majority of people in that space have their own personas. So they're exciting, they're bold, they're edgy. And those are actually the three keywords that we use to sort of build the brand. It's like every brand needs to have three keywords, which I believe, like if you want to really hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. And then you build around those three words, those keywords that you come up with to figure out like how you want to portray your product through branding. Because like I could have just did like a plain, simple bag, just like, you know, Sizzle Popcorn logo or not. And then just like a bunch of descriptions. But like, I don't think it would have hit that hard if we did that. So we really had to go niche with it and really like visually knock it out of the park. So like, yeah. And through the process of sitting down with the designer, I learned like tons. It was like a time warp, like pressure cooker class on branding. We had like 4 or 5 sessions of intense talk about how we're going to do the brand. And then we came up with the concept. We came up with our first version bag, with which was just a label. They're not the bags that you know that are today. Mm-hmm. There was the first version where I was labeling every bag by hand, and that was for I did that for about a little less than a year, I'd say. And then I realized that I had to switch or transition to a more of like an official bag, which then I, you know, reconnected with the designer, and we came up with a whole new concept. And we made it look like an adventure game, sort of like think like Zelda or just any other game that like takes on a journey, that there's a main character and you play that as that main character. Mm-hmm. And that's what we came up with, really. We made Rocket the main character and just, you know, put the product out as if it were a game, an experience. And yeah, and that's really how, you know, Sizzle Popcorn started, from the day that I started in events to today, basically.
Okay, man, there's so much in there that I would love to dig into.
Do it.
I think it's cool, like all the different approaches that you took and how you kind of started off with one thing, but then slowly kind of pivoted into where you are now. Like when you were doing the events, were you hosting the events, or were you just going to events in the area and kind of serving your popcorn there, like with events that friends put on or people that you knew?
Yeah, I wasn't hosting the events myself. Okay. I knew people that were having events, and they invited me, or I asked if I could attend with my machines.
Okay.
Just, I thought that would be a good way to expose the service to the public. Sometimes I got hired like paid gigs, like people rented it with a server and I was the server. So that's really what I did. It was a variety of things.
Okay. I think that's super cool. I mean, you're the first brand found that I've talked to that kind of launched the way that you did, but I feel like a very similar way that other brands do it is they launched them at farmers markets. But some of them, I feel like they might even at the beginning want to, they know that they want to launch like an actual CPG brand, you know, like sell in stores and that kind of thing. Yeah. But you were kind of going the other way, where you didn't even know that that's what you wanted to do, or weren't, or like you were, but you just wanted to be able to do popcorn at these events, which I think is cool. So why did you start with popcorn? What was it about that wanted you, made you want to start with that?
Yeah, that's a whole nother story.
I like it.
Yeah. So my family, this is like a family thing. My family actually had a local shop in Montreal where they sold kitchenware.
Okay.
And like on like the main boulevard in Montreal, it's called Boulevard Saint Laurent. For those of you that heard of it, I don't know if anyone that's listening heard of that, but they used to have a shop there, and they actually had an old popcorn machine in their basement of the store, which was corroded and rusted and old. And I wanted to use it because they had like street sales, and they used to actually sell popcorn at the street sales. This is going back like 30, 35 years. So it's a long rooted story. And I wanted to pull it up, and just like that entrepreneur in me, I guess, wanted to sell something. Mm-hmm. And there was an opportunity, and I couldn't use that machine. So what I did was I went out, got my own little 4-ounce popcorn machine, which is like tiny, tiny home use machine. And then started selling it on the street. And really, that's how I got into popcorn. I never knew. I didn't intend for that to happen. It just sort of just like popped up in my life through family and just like being around the shop and just kind of growing up there. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's just like snowballed. Like it took a long time for it to really come through. But eventually it sort of like grew on me, and like more and more, and I realized that I really love popcorn. And yeah, that's where it stemmed from. Like just like an innocent like situation where it's just like I wanted to sell popcorn on the street because my family did that and they just let it go because the machine got ruined and mm-hmm. I sort of brought it back to life, and then it took on a new life of its own, and now it's like started from a basement in my family's shop with a rusted old machine to now having a brand that I sell online, you know. So it's
that's
like
awesome.
Huge extremes.
Yeah,
it's like it's crazy. Yeah,
that's awesome though. Like one of my favorite things to hear from anyone that creates art or products like yourself is like how like where that first seed was planted that led to what it is now. I think that's always so fascinating because it's never like you woke up one day and then Sizzle was built to what we see it as it is now. It's like there was years and all sorts of things that happened that led up to where it is now and to when you launched the business. I always think that's super fascinating.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's actually really cool. If I think about it, this whole idea started 30 years ago and I wasn't even born.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. So tell me a little bit more. I kind of want to dig into how you make the popcorn now. So you were making it with the machines at the events, and you eventually started, like, people were asking if they could buy it online. So you started selling it there, and that's kind of where you're focused now. How do you make the popcorn?
It's all by hand, actually. We're not working with a co-packer just yet.
Okay.
We don't have the volume for that.
Okay.
Or the capacity even to do so, like just like business wise. But yeah, it's all by hand in a commercial kitchen. And I'm actually using one of the machines that I own for the longest time now. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just sort of transitioned from events to doing it like this mm-hmm. for now temporarily, but I am working on solutions to grow that production capacity and scale. It's the hardest thing, man. Like, the production and fulfillment side of the business is like the toughest parts of like running a direct to consumer CPG business, and ask any founder and they'll tell you the same. It's like super, super tough. And that's really like the hurdle that I'm trying to jump over, is making sure that we can produce enough to scale and then scale enough to meet demand. You know, it's just like a whole like chicken and the egg. You know, like I'm trying to figure it out, but yeah, right now we're at a point where we're just doing it by hand and building brand awareness, putting out content, partnering with content creators. That's a whole different side of it, but yeah, production wise, it's by hand. We're in grind mode, startup grind mode, and you know, yeah, that's how we're doing it.
That's awesome. So the commercial kitchen, kind of going in that direction, and you mentioned that you kind of have thought about doing it in a co-pack or two, but don't have the volume yet. So what kind of went into your thought process of, do I make it on my own or do I work with a co-packer? What was that process like?
I wanted to make sure that the product had a fit in the market and that our community would actually back the product or that we could actually build a community around the product. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so that was really what I wanted to do first. And also, as I mentioned before, like the labeled bags, I wasn't able to have enough bags to actually do a first run with a co-packer. So like costs were a factor. I didn't have the capital to do that. Like it's all like relative.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like starting up, I didn't have enough like of a, I guess like a, I guess I would say a seed, you know, to actually get into co-packing right away. And yeah, if you don't have that, the road is a little longer or a lot longer. But yeah, that's really what it was. I wanted to make sure that we'd be able to actually have longevity with the product and not just have like an in and out fly by night type product.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really where that stems from.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I think that's smart in lots of ways. Like people sometimes just want to, I think like the thing that we see most covered in the news and like in, on social media and stuff is these companies that get all this funding and how great that is and stuff. And that is really kind of sexy and exciting, but I think some of the best businesses are built by someone like you who has a passion, sees a need, and just kind of slowly does what they can with what they have. And even if it wasn't intentionally to validate it, you're validating it as you go along, even though it sounds like it was intentional for you. And like with each, and you're just kind of taking small measured steps in the direction that you want to go and not biting off more than you can chew. And I totally think that's smart. So it sounds like you have goals of getting to the point where you're working with a co-packer, but like right now, do you do you help produce it a lot? Do you have a team that comes in? Like, what's that process like?
It's all me right now.
It's all you.
Yeah,
I love it, man. All,
yeah,
the hustle.
Yeah, the hustle. It's tiring though. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm gonna like just collapse, but I keep going and I find the strength. It's all about just like getting to the next step. You know, I'm working to get out of that situation because I can't stay in that forever. It's just super draining and energetically. I use a lot of my creative energy towards producing it. Mm-hmm. And then I sometimes lack in the area of being able to think of like what we're going to be doing next to promote the brand and just managing everything plus producing. It's crazy, but it's just me for now.
That's awesome, man. I mean, props. I've never been in the situation that you're in, but my late wife, my first wife, Laura, she founded a skincare brand back in 2010. And I watched her, it was like right when I first started dating, and I watched her build that business on her own. Like, she started much like you did. And she made it on her own, like by herself. In every apartment that she lived in, she would have a little corner of her bedroom where she would go and make the products and send it out and stuff. Hearing you talk about making your product just makes me think of how she did it with hers. And I just remember like the passion and the fire and the enthusiasm that she had for it. And it wasn't easy, and there were lots of hard days, but that business is still running today. There's more people behind it now. And so I just think that's a really special thing for you to be doing, you know, to have that passion and hustle and to be having your hands in like all different parts of the business. I think that's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah, I wear a lot of hats, and sorry to hear about your late wife.
Oh, thanks, man.
But yeah, no, that's a good story. Yeah. I see how it would be relatable. Like, it's like every aspect of the business. Like if one day I'm not doing production, I'm doing something else. And, you know, like, it's like dealing with people, placing orders for supplies. And I'm like the supply chain manager, the production manager, the, you know, it's like crazy. Like the social media manager some days, like the community managers.
It's crazy. The website, your
website,
like, doing promos on the website. Yeah.
Yeah. The dev guy, the marketing guy, like, man, boom, my head explodes.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot.
Well, with your, I had a question on the tip of my tongue and I don't remember what it was. It was like, so since you're managing all the operations right now, are you just tracking it all in spreadsheets, or is there like a certain software that you use to manage it all?
Well, we're running our site on Shopify.
Okay.
So that makes it really easy.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like inventory and tracking like numbers and data and analytics, I'm doing it all through spreadsheets.
Cool.
So updating it manually and automating things when I can. Mm-hmm. So like obviously costs and like like projections for the year and budgeting and just everything related to the whole business end or the finance end of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all spreadsheet supported. So Google Sheets, the free version, basically.
There's
no like specific tool right now, but you never know. I might need that tool in the future. Like when it comes to like accounting, you know, QuickBooks, I'm sure tons of people use QuickBooks. Try to automate as much as I can. And you know what? I didn't mention this, but I actually I do have a team of people helping me.
Oh, like, cool.
Remotely. So I'm not doing entirely everything myself, but just more like the major things I'm doing myself. Mm-hmm. So like everything that those people can't do because they're not physically here with me working. So I have somebody actually doing customer service. So answering tickets, doing like on-site chat support when mm-hmm. needed. Somebody running our Twitter account, because we're really big on Twitter. That's where our whole community lives.
It's that makes sense.
It lives on Twitter. The conversation happens there. Somebody doing like partnership management, which is like affiliates. And we have like this whole program that we're running. It's somebody doing community management, content creation. We have a photographer. It's cool. There's so many aspects to the business.
Yeah.
And
But you have a really big focus on the kind of the customer experience, the content, the community side of things. So it makes sense that you've got some people that are helping you with that. And then you can focus on making a quality product and then managing all the other stuff, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it is. And those people are actually, you know, part of the community, and they wanted to join the team just because they support the brand so much.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they reached out or we made an announcement like we were looking for this role, and then they, you know, threw their hat into the pile and we sort of picked them to come join the team. And they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart. Like right now, it's just like they support the mission. They see where it's going, and it's just like they want to be a part of it.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome that you've built up that kind of a brand and have that kind of a connection with them, that they'd be willing to do that kind of work for you. That's fantastic. Yeah,
it's awesome. It's not for me. It's for Sizzle. Like
I would say. Yeah. For Sizzle.
For Sizzle. No one works for
Thank
me.
You for
we
correcting
all work
me,
together
yeah.
for the better of the brand. That's really what it is.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think it's awesome that you're kind of doing it all through spreadsheets right now. As much as you know, I work for an inventory management software company. I use lots of software, but in-house, we probably use Google Sheets to manage more things than we do actual software, you know, because they're just so easy to create, you know, like they'll always have a place, like no matter how good your software is and how good, you know, different things are, like you'll always use those for something in your business because they're, you know, you can just start from scratch, make it do what you want it to do, right?
Exactly. Yeah, plug in formulas. Yeah, duplicate them.
So when you have like challenges or problems with the operation side of things, or I guess with anything in business, like where do you typically start when you're looking for solutions?
That's a very good question. Google searches. That's or I reach out to my network, like people that I know.
Yeah.
Like maybe they could give me some advice. Maybe they have ideas, like yeah, it's tough. Like a lot of CPG people are really, really packed and they're really busy and they're focused on their own thing. But I do have a circle of people that I can reach out to if I am really stuck.
Yeah.
And I'm in like a heavy pickle and I cannot get out of it. There's always those people that I can reach out to. But I do a lot of like self-education. And to me, like if you have an issue, that means there's a solution. Like you're never stuck, basically. It's just like you're only stuck in your mind, and then everything else is available, and there's always a solution. So, yeah, I mean, if you can't find a solution, create one, and that's really what I'm about. It's just like you got to find a way to do it and pick a path, and then eventually you'll come around. Like even if it takes longer than you expect, sometimes what I do even is it's like this. It's like if I can't land on a solution to my problem, I just sort of let it be. And then as the time goes on, the problem more or less solves itself.
That's cool.
You know, I don't know how it happens. It just does. Like, cause I think about it and then like sort of clears up the problem. And then I'm like, okay, why don't I just do this? And then whatever this is, usually, I wouldn't say usually, but a lot of the time it's kind of the same thing, but It works out. It helps. And then if it doesn't totally cure the problem, it at least helps eliminate part of it. And then through like continuous movement, I guess, the problem fades. And then like, it's just like not really an issue. I don't know. It's not laid out for everything, but a lot of the time, that's what it is.
Yeah. I think that's super cool. I mean, you know, like you said, you can tend to, like some of us, we can get stuck on the problem in our mind if we don't at least take some kind of action towards it. But a lot of times, like, you know, you can like reach out to your circle. Like you said, you can do a Google search, you can read a book or listen to a podcast, but sometimes not even that solves the problem. And so you get to a point where you just have to kind of let it go and it either will solve itself or maybe like, you know, 2 months down the road, you're in the shower and like the solution pops in your mind or like the next thing to try. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
What are some of the ways that you like to self-educate? I heard you mention that.
I like reading a lot. I watch a lot of videos about with people that are, I'd say, ahead of me in certain spaces or aspects, or that have educated themselves through other people and share their knowledge. Like the knowledge is endless, especially nowadays with the internet. You can literally learn anything from anyone and apply it, and then do like a cross reference with someone else who may have similar experience, you know, with whatever you're trying to learn. No matter what industry you're in, there's always education to be had.
Yeah.
So yeah, with the internet these days, like you're never limited on what you can learn and how you learn it. And it's all free. Like yeah. You just have to be curious and know like sort of how to use tools to learn. Mm-hmm. When I say tools, it's really even on social media, like, you know, people may not like, you know, learning from social media, but I think if you listen and watch the right things,
yeah.
But also sort of taking a logic, like sort of like a stance towards like, not like maybe not everything being total truth. You gotta keep that, you know, in the back of your mind when watching content or mm-hmm. consuming content or watching videos, like question what you're watching, but also learn from it. So
yeah,
there's pros and cons to learning online, I think. And I'm self-taught with a lot of things, like website building, self-taught, building businesses, self-taught, even though yes, my family is like very business oriented. They're not like business oriented in today's world. Mm-hmm. They're more of like a traditional business mindset, I'd say. So like everything that's like today and like what's coming in the future is all self-taught and through trial and error. So yeah, you just got to try things. If they don't work, you learned. If they work, great, you learned.
Sure.
So like, don't be afraid to make mistakes or fail. And I think, education is just, you know, the second part of failing. I've failed a lot. I've made so many mistakes. I've spent money that I didn't need to spend, which was a waste, but I learned, you know. It's just everything. Just try everything, do everything, try everything, just have fun. That's really what it is too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. When you're looking for places to learn, like, do you have any like favorite YouTube channels or like podcasts or like websites that you tend to like gravitate towards, or is it always just kind of starting with the Google search and going kind of down the rabbit hole that way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a go-to site, YouTube, but YouTube is everybody yeah. uses YouTube.
Lots on there.
Yeah. I mean, it really depends like what I'm looking for. When I like in school, university, it's what I learned is like the big thing is like I was in communications, and the big thing that I took away from going to university in communications was the medium is the message. So whatever you're using to either get your information or communicate is really how you're communicating. So I don't really know where I'm going with this, but it really
keep on going. It's good.
It really depends, you know, what you're using to learn. So either that's like, I don't know, books are different than what you read online. They're more detailed. You know, it's just like it really depends. Like there's no like set thing that I go to. It's like, you know, whatever market or whatever industry you want to learn about or whatever topic you want to learn about, go to the tool that industry uses and you may have luck in learning about that or that topic based on
like,
you know, it really depends like what you want to learn about.
I gotcha. Yeah. So it's kind of like, if you want to learn how to use Shopify better, like build a website, go to Shopify type thing.
Sort of, yeah, sort of build. Yeah. Yeah. Get a 14-day trial. You know, I'm advertising for Shopify, but anyway, sign up for a service, try it out. If you don't like it, okay. If you do, then you learned, or watch a video about it. But it's not the same thing, like watching a video and actually applying. It's different. So
for sure.
Yeah. It depends what level you want to take it to. If you're just curious, you know, if it's like a learning out of curiosity, you watch a video. If you want to like put it into action, you actually do it. I'm more of like an action person, and maybe sometimes I do both. I watch and action at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is like a very cool way of doing it. So like I'd watch a video, do the steps in the video, pause it, you know, and then go back and then finish it as a, like an assignment sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a superpower in today's internet age, because we can trick ourselves into thinking that we're learning when we're just consuming a lot of content. And I say this because I'm like a pro at doing that.
Yeah.
You know, like I read a book or listen to podcasts. I'm like, oh, cool. Like I can go run profitable Facebook ads now.
Yeah. But
your like brain thinks like, oh, I have those steps, I'm good. But like actually doing it, a lot of times it doesn't work the way that they said it will. And that's because it's not always exactly the same for every situation. But then like, there's like something about our brains where we have to do it in order to internalize it and in order for it to become a part of us. So I think it's cool that you'll watch, pause, implement, watch, pause, implement. Like that's probably why you've been able to do so much in a short amount of time, is because you've got that habit. I think that's cool.
Yeah. It's like you learn and apply at the same time. You don't just learn then apply.
Right.
It's like simultaneous.
Yeah. And I think about this a lot because and this is kind of going off topic a little bit, but it's a little bit of a tangent from where we are now. But like, we talk a lot, and this is just, I guess, Western society. We think that learning means you like go to a classroom and you sit and then someone talks at you, and we call like, and then we get home from class and our parents are like, what did you learn in school today? Right. Yeah. But the older you get, and when you build a business, it doesn't ever become more apparent than when you're building a business, because you have to execute on so many things. Like you don't really learn that way. Like that's not really learning. Like you didn't really learn it. Like maybe you heard it or you understood it, but like you can't actually do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's like, I feel like that kind of whole notion of how you learn and that kind of thing is a little bit, not you, but just like in general, you know, it's just kind of, I feel like it's changing.
Yeah, we have a very theory-based way of learning.
Yes. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Last question about how you make the product, because this is just one part that I always find super fascinating.
Sure.
How do you go about like sourcing your ingredients and materials, like the popcorn, the seasoning, the packaging, and that kind of thing? What does your process look like for that?
Well, it took a bit of trial and error. Again, going back to trial and error, I had to find the right suppliers, make calls, test out product, see if it would be good. I don't get it all from one supplier. So popcorn, we get it locally from actually Ontario. We're based in Quebec. So I order it from another province, get it shipped. That's one thing. Seasonings, we don't make the seasonings in house. We source them from suppliers. I can't say who, obviously, but
yeah, cool.
Yeah. It's just finding like what works in terms of supplies, and then just like making sure there's a flow, you know, always coming in and out, not having too much, not having too little, having enough to sustain like current demand.
Yeah.
It took me a couple of years to figure out who and what I needed to make the product as good as it could be. Mm-hmm. But it's just about, if anyone's having any challenges like with like supply management or sourcing their products, don't stop making those calls. Like reach out to, you know, as many suppliers as you can, find good pricing. And if you can negotiate your prices, do so. Suppliers, they want your business, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, if you think that a certain supplier could work well with you and they have a good product, but your budget may not meet their demands, ask the question. You know, you never know. You may even spark a great relationship with them. It's just about trying to kindle relationships with people. And that's really what it is. It's, you got to be very friendly with your suppliers. It's more than just a client or just like an operator client or customer relationship or transaction. It's really a person to person thing.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And I think it's cool that you mentioned the relationship aspect of it, because all the different people that I talk to, it doesn't matter if it's a brand, like someone from a brand like yourself or someone that works for a co-packer, they all say that it comes back to that same thing. Like it's all about the human to human relationships that you have with both sides.
Yeah, because without them, your business doesn't roll. So
yeah,
you got to be there for them, and they got to be there for you, and they know that. And as a founder for a product, a food product company, or whatever company you're running, you got to have good relationships with your suppliers.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay, cool. So I want to pivot to talk about Sizzle a little bit. Well, we've been talking about Sizzle. I want to talk about like what you're doing with Sizzle now. And there's two different things that we talked about before the call that I'm super stoked to dig into. One is your spooky week that you're doing.
Yeah.
And you can tell everyone what that means. And the second is NFTs.
Sure.
Ready, okay. Set, go.
Yeah. Let's do it. So basically, yeah. So we're recording this right before Halloween. It's And so today I decided that we're going to run like a mystery week for our popcorn. Basically, usually we have 6 visible flavors on our website. But this week, just this week only for the whole year, we're just doing like mystery bundles where you don't know what you're going to get in the bundles. It's obviously going to be, you know, a variety of the 6 flavors that we have. But because it's Halloween, I wanted to make it sort of like spooky and a mystery. You know, you never know. It's like fun. And that's what Sizzle's all about. It's all about fun. It's all about games. It's all about entertainment. So as a community, you always have to like sort of reward them, make it interesting. It can't just be like, you know, buy our popcorn and that's it. You got to have fun with it, you know?
Yeah.
I treat Sizzle as like a game, like a video game, like, and think of like this, like we set it up so that the bundles sort of look like an unlock character type mode, like where you're at a certain level in a game and you didn't unlock a power up or a certain character. And like, if you visit the site this week, which is the mystery week, you'll see that there's question marks on every bundle and you don't know what you're going to get. So you could get like, let's say we have a 6 pack that we offer as an example, you could get 3 of one flavor and then 1 of each of 3 different flavors. And we don't usually offer that, but it's this week only. Yeah. And it's just cool. It's like something I've never tried before. And it's just like an activation I wanted to test out.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you have me sold. I'm super curious to see what the mystery packs are. I get. Do you guys ship to the US?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. I'm gonna jump on after we chat and buy some.
Appreciate it.
I like it. All right. So that's cool. I think you know, the fact that you treat business as a video game, I think is super cool and fascinating. And that like makes it sound like I'm making fun of you or like that you take it lightly, but that's not at all my intention. I think that if all of us could treat our lives as games more, like we'd probably have more fun and maybe even be more successful.
Yeah.
You know?
You can't take it too seriously. You gotta have fun. Like if you're not having fun, then there's no point.
For sure, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of fun, we both chatted a little bit before about how we've been going down the NFT rabbit hole. I just barely started a few weeks ago. The fact that you've got something launched means that you're farther ahead than I am, but I'm curious just to hear kind of how you're, tell me more about that project, like what you're doing with NFTs and how you're pairing it with your brand.
Sure. Okay. So we did like a launch at the beginning of this month. So October 1st. It was actually through, I could tell you it's public. So we actually did it through ThetaDrop.com. So it's Theta TV, which is a streaming platform, which is backed by the Theta Network. So it's basically a crypto-backed streaming platform. And how their platform works is when you stream on it or you view streams, you collect T-Fuel, which is the protocol token for Theta. So basically for transactions, everything goes through T-Fuel, but it runs on the Theta Network. And the Theta Network is the Theta token or the Theta coin is their asset. The T-Fuel is their protocol, so for transactions. So basically with them, the reason why we dropped it through them and not through like another open platform was because last year, March 2020, we actually partnered up with them and have an embed on our website to stream theta.tv streams on our site directly.
Okay.
And then recently they actually launched a platform to facilitate NFT drops. And because I have, you know, I know the team over there and we've been working together for over a year, I reached out to the partnership manager and, shot over the idea that I wanted to launch an NFT for Sizzle and they said yes, right away sort of. And it took about 2 to 2.5 months to actually put it all together. So like get the idea down, the design, like what we wanted to do, how many pieces we wanted to mint, what date we wanted to drop it on. And what we did was we launched 3 different versions of our NFT, actually 4, but 3 limited editions, limited edition mints. So, and we did it related to the flavors that we had, and we used Rocket as our mascot to actually be like a character for the NFT. So think about like all the cool projects going on right now.
Yeah.
It's very character based.
Mm-hmm.
So That's what we did. We took inspiration from all the other projects going on right now and sort of implemented it, or put our own sizzle spin on it, if you want to call it. Yeah, and we included redeemables into the NFT. So if you bought an NFT, let's say a Cheddar one, you get a 3-month supply of Cheddar sizzle popcorn and and an NFT based hoodie, which had the which had like the NFT character on the chest. It's like if you bought the NFT itself, you got physical products as redeemables that came along with it. Yeah, and that went crazy. We sold out in 8 minutes after the drop, which is nuts. And then we had an unlimited open edition that ran for 3 days, and that sold like crazy too. We sold 2,000 mints of those.
Oh wow, that's nuts, man! Congrats.
Yeah, it went nuts. Yeah, we had it was a great day to say the least. Yeah, so I mean that's really what we did, and getting further into that, I think. The whole thing behind what I'm going to be focusing on moving forward into next year, 2022, is I really want to involve Sizzle in the whole Web3 crypto movement, the whole digital world movement. Not to say that I'm totally against retail and traditional grocery, but I don't think that there's room for Sizzle there, and that the potential to grow online as a popcorn brand or snack of the internet and this new internet that's coming about is like a massive opportunity. It's just like an evergreen land grab right now. So like that's really the focus. I want to somehow combine the whole digital new age with Sizzle and just like make it, you know, as part of that whole ecosystem. Yeah, and then there's like there's different things I'm thinking about, like launching a token or you know putting out another NFT drop or project. Like there's so much. Yeah.
I love it, man. Any time that I hear people talking about NFTs on like podcasts and stuff, I feel like they always have to start off by talking about what it means because they are so new to like most people. I don't want to do that because I feel like people can Google it, speaking of Google, right? And they can learn about what those are. One thing that I think would help the listeners of the podcast, just to take this one step further, is like, where do you see the future of NFTs and CPGs melding? And maybe you kind of already answered that with kind of what your plans are, but like without giving away necessarily like IP of what you want to do, where do you see the future that way going?
Depends what you want to do with it. So you could treat it as like a capital raise, you know, that's how I see what we did. But at the same time, that wasn't the only intention. I didn't know what was going to happen. But I think it's just like validating your brand, allowing people to sort of own a piece of your brand through these like digital, validated digital smart contracts through crypto networks. So like it's not just owning JPEGs or files. You're literally owning IP on a smart network, on the crypto network, whatever chain you're launching on. It's verified. So you're like a verified owner of this collectible related to your favorite brand, and that may open doors to you getting like rewards or being part of a certain program. Or a club. It's more than just owning something. There's so many doors that could be open with this. So it's really, I think, again, related to the community aspect of things. It's like you have like the VIP pass of like welcome to the club type thing. And I think that's where CPG could go. I don't know if it will go there, but I'm just gonna do it anyways because, you know, maybe it'll start a movement and then that's where CPG will go. Because to me, like, I think traditional grocery chains, they're not going to necessarily go away, but I think the way we shop is going to change, especially in the near future, like 5 to 10 years. So like you're going to go to stores. Yeah, most likely, but this is a little like really like critical thinking, but I think we're going to really live in like metaverse type worlds. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go grocery shopping digitally. You're not going to actually go to physical stores anymore.
Yeah.
Like you will, but you could choose not to if you want to. And then I think that's where Sizzle could live.
Yeah.
As a digital.
That's super
cool. Yeah. As a digital product. And you actually get it shipped to your house. Like, so what we did with the NFTs, okay, it'll be like that, but when you shop. So like you buy it. And then you own it, and then you could just sort of redeem what you bought and then own that, you know, whatever collectible you got or verified token or whatever it is. And then you'll get your product shipped to you through like this never ending circle of blockchain that understands that, you know, you own this part of the company and that you want to redeem it. It's just like this whole, like, I don't know like exactly where it's going to go, but I just know that that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyways, I'm excited about the whole industry, and I think it's just like going to be so huge that no one even realizes where it's going. Basically it's like we're starting the internet all over, and if you can hit something right now and get in early with Web3, you'll be worldwide. So
yeah and I think that's a great way to end it. I feel like I could just dig into this for another hour with you, but I want to be respectful of your time and also the listeners as well. But I think the last thing you said hits it on the head, is that there's kind of a new internet being born. It's almost like to me, the energy feels very similar to how it did when Facebook pages came out for brands. Like not a lot of businesses were on there yet. And like businesses started talking about social media, and they're like, oh, like we have to sign up for Twitter. And they're like, should we be on MySpace? And it's like, no, that one's old. It was like right when MySpace, or when Facebook overtook MySpace, and like the energy kind of feels very, very similar. So I think you're right that there's something to it. And for the brands that, you know, that feel like drawn to that energy, I think there's like you and Lay that have like gone in and actually executed on it. I think there's a lot of cool things to be had and a lot of cool opportunities that'll come up that way. So Dev, thank you so much for your time, man. This was awesome. Is there anything else you want to throw out there before we wrap up?
If I could just sort of like shout out Sizzle, like all the socials
please.
And everything.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So it's at Sizzle Popcorn on every platform, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. Also, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. It's Dev Sevy. So DEV. And then my last name, SEVY. Hit me up on there. There's tons that we're doing. If anyone's curious to check it out. You know, send me a message, say what's up. I'm always happy to talk. That's really it. Just Taylor, appreciate the support, the opportunity to come on and chat about myself and Sizzle. It's been good. Like I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, for sure. Same here. And I'll just kind of throw a secondary plug in. I don't follow the Sizzle socials yet, but I'm going to. I have followed you on LinkedIn for a while just to learn from you as a founder. So I can say that those of you that like to connect with founders on LinkedIn, like to be able to kind of commiserate's the wrong word, but kind of have other people that are in a similar circle as you. Dev is a great person to follow. He's very real. You know, he doesn't really sugarcoat things, and the posts that he shares are really great. So highly recommended follow there. So hi, Dev. Thanks again for your time, man. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks, Taylor.
All right, bye.
The Physical Product Movement podcast is brought to you by Fiddle. To find out more about Fiddle and how our industry-leading inventory ops platform is giving modern brands and manufacturers full visibility into their inventory and operations, visit fiddle.io and then make sure to search for Physical Product Movement in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. Make sure to click subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Fiddle, thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, my name is Taylor Howe and I'm the marketing manager here at Fiddle. I want to jump on real quick to tell you about an incredible free resource that we put together for CPG brands. It's called Fiddle Connect. It's a curated database of over 3,000 co-packers and suppliers. You'll get websites, phone numbers, locations, categories, and more, all in one place. It's a must-have for any CPG brand, especially in the food, beverage, or nutraceutical space. And again, it's 100% free. To get immediate access, just go to fiddle.io/connect. We are constantly updating the database and we promise you're going to love it. It'll save you time and headaches by helping you get to suppliers and co-packers faster than ever. So again, just go to fiddle.io/connect to get free access today.